Welcome to the Sarah Podcast.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Sarah Podcast. We are recording this after the week 3 super late model race. We're going to be recapping all of week 3's events, talking a little bit about each race. We do have a special guest on the show here tonight. I'll introduce him in just a second. And then at the end of the show this week, we're going to talk a little bit about some guys that have been running well this season, some names that are kind of surprising us, and then we'll preview next week's races. But to start off, I'm your host, Matt Rolfe, driver of the number 51, also here once again with Clay Snyder. Clay, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. A long week of racing, but we're here. Also here with Mark Gammick. Mark, how you doing?
A little cold, but pretty good.
And then we've got a special guest here on the show tonight. We've talked about getting him on here for a couple weeks now. Finally got him to actually show up. We tried last week. He didn't want to. So we begged him to do it this week. Bill Martin, how you do it?
Hello. It is a balmy 73 degrees over here. I'm not cold. Suck it, Mark.
That hurts, man. That hurts.
Well, you know.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Bill a little bit, or in a little bit, ask him a few questions, kind of get to know him. Let everyone on the league know a little bit about him. But before that, we're going to do a little bit of recapping. And before we even start the SK recap, I just wanted to talk about the week as a whole. Seemed like this week we kind of went back to what we normally have for week one. There was multiple cautions in each race, a lot more than what we've had the first 2 weeks of the season. So I think we finally hit that point early on in the season where we had all of our cautions. Hopefully we got those out of the way. And then moving forward, we can kind of go back to green flag racing. I think each race this week was a little bit rough. I don't really know what it was other than just, you know, large car counts once again, and we might have had some difficult tracks this week. Starting off with the SK Modified Series, we had an 85-lap race at Phoenix, Triple Crown race. Ty Majeski started off picking up the pole, and then we did have a 10-car invert, which sent him back. And early on in that race, we had the big one. Bill, you were part of that, kind of coming off turn 4 early in the race. A couple of you got together, and I think it collected at least half the field, if not more.
Yes, it was huge. I don't remember who it was I was racing with, but I moved to the outside. I think it's Ty.
I believe you and Majeski were trying to get by Mike Alexander.
Yeah, that sounds right. Ty went under him. And then Mike slipped up just a bit, and it looked like the outside was going to open. And from what I could see from his wheel, it looked like his car was reacting a lot of net code, and it just turned him into me. I could have backed off, I suppose, but that's not very race car.
It was pretty early on, so it was just one of those things where you're not expecting someone to get loose like that either, and especially if it was net code, there's not really much you can do about that. I know me and Clay, you had just gotten by me, and we were kind of just taking our time towards the back of the field, and we came out of turn 4, and there was nowhere to go. Somehow you made it through.
Yeah, I made it through and was able to hang around in the almost top 5 the rest of the night. But I think other than that big one early on, that was about our cleanest race all week.
It looked like it was a pretty good one, even though I had to watch it from the pits.
Yeah, the first one took out, I think I counted 12 cars out of the 23 that were involved in some way. There was probably 5 or 6 that were out because of it. So the field shrunk after that, and we got a decent amount of green flag racing in after that. Dale Owen led early on, but once again, Ty Majeski charged to the front, took over the lead about lap 20 or so, and led from there on. We did have a caution right before halfway, and most of the field went down pit road. And I think Tyler Howell stayed out. Dale Owen might have got back to the lead for a couple laps, but once again, Majeski got out front and pulled away, held off a couple guys late in the race. So our week 2 SK race got postponed, so this is technically our second SK modified race, and Majeski so far is 2 for 2, so it's a pretty good way for him to start the season, which should come to no surprise to all of us. I know, Bill, your teammate's with him, and I'm sure you guys are sick of him beating you guys all the time, too.
I'm actually curious how many races I've finished second to him.
Probably a decent amount.
It's ridiculous.
When he has 51 wins and you have 35, you would think that there's another maybe, what's the difference there, 26 or maybe No, that'd be 16. Another 16 races or so, at least, where you might have finished second to him, and that number could be different, but he's tough to beat, so.
Majeski has a lot less races than I have, too. And, this is just a ridiculous amount of wins. But it makes sense. The kid's going freaking everywhere. Everybody would like to have his skill. And what's really cool is he's so consistent, it doesn't matter what he drives. It doesn't matter where he drives. If he's ever even touched the track before, he just does it.
Yeah, we've gotten used to that, too, on our end. It doesn't matter how much we practice when Majeski shows up. You know he's going to be one of the top guys out there. Just to go down to the top five of the finishing order of the SK race, Ty Majeski picked up the second win of the season. Michael German had a good run. We talked to him on the podcast last week, and he translated that over. It must be because he talked to us, I guess. But he went out there and picked up a second-place finish. Chuck Sweeting picked up a good finish in third. Not really sure where he came from. He was pretty quiet all night, it seemed like, and next thing I know, he's up there battling in the top three. And then Ian Lane finished fourth, and Dale Owen finished sixth. Looking at the points for that series, looks pretty similar for the first couple of cars. Majeski is leading the points after two races. Michael German sits second. Dale Owen is third. And Bill, you're fourth, despite a couple tough finishes there. And then Anthony Salentano runs fifth. I believe your two finishes, Bill, are second and 20th, and you're still fourth in points, so it's looking pretty good for you anyways.
Very proud of that 20th, I gotta say.
Hard fought.
But moving on to the street stock race, we had a 75-lap race at Concord, the first race of the Tar Heel Swing, which is a short little extra series at Concord and Southern National. This week at Concord, we actually had some pretty good racing overall, I think. I think we had six cautions or so, which kind of added up a little bit, and it was hard to get some long runs in, but I felt like most of the race we were running side by side, or a lot of guys were running side by side, and the racing was actually pretty good. I for one, actually like Concord. I know a lot of guys struggle there. I think it's a tough track, but the racing always seems to be pretty good. I know, Clay, once again, you had another good run there.
Yeah, the side by side, I mean, I felt like I had a car on the inside or outside of me most of the night. But that track is so tough on some of those corners, and it's so tight that it just doesn't give you a lot of room to slip up. I think that's what brought out a lot of precautions, was guys either overdriving it or getting loose or whatever, and they just didn't have anywhere to go when you're so bunched up like that.
For the first time at Concord, it is small, but I really thought it was a good track. I know a lot of people coming into it were complaining about it or didn't have a lot of good things to say about it, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Ty Spearman picked up the win. That's back-to-back wins for him in that division as well. Tommy Burns continues his good season in the street stocks, finished second. Hunter Combs, who is leading the points, finished third. Tyler Howell fourth, and Tom Wetmore finished fifth. I believe Tom got caught up in one of the early cautions. He didn't lose too many spots out of it, but he came back and got fifth. And then translating that all over to the points, like I said, Hunter Combs leading the points over Tom Wetmore. Hunter extended that lead a little bit, I think it was like 8 or 9 points. He extended his lead, so that's up to, I believe, 14. Tommy Burns sits third in points. Dale Owen is fourth, and I'm currently sitting fifth in points after 2 weeks of the season. So the street stocks, the car counts have continued to stay up, and we've had some pretty good racing so far this season. I think one of the things that's helping with that is, no offense to you, Bill, but having guys like yourself and Majeski not in that division, it just makes the racing a little bit closer for the rest of us, because we're not trying to chase a couple of guys up front, and we're actually being competitive up front, and it's turned into some pretty good racing.
It looks like Spearman's about to get himself kicked the hell out.
Yeah, if he keeps winning, he's going to be kicked out of that division, but no, he's had a good season so far. He's only been in two of the three races, and he's won both of them, so I think we even mentioned it in last week's podcast that if he kept running more often, he probably wouldn't be racing in the division. So if he keeps it up, that might be the case. Yeah. Moving into the next portion of the podcast, we're going to interview you, Bill. You're going to be on the hot seat here. I can ask you a few questions, try to get to know you a little bit. I feel like I already know some things about you, but I'll ask you some questions so that the rest of the league that's listening can kind of know a little bit more about you. First question for you is, what's your background in racing? Obviously, I know you drive a car, but talk a little bit about that and then translate that into what got you into iRacing.
This could be a long story. It could
That's fine.
It could be.
I think you're entertaining enough that it usually it's okay if you ramble a little bit.
Just because I have a lot of emphasis in my voice doesn't make me entertaining. It just means I talk too goddamn much. Anyways, I started enjoying racing from a very young age, most primarily because of my dad. And then he was in a slot car club, so I started doing slot car stuff. And then, that was 1992 when I started doing that. And then 1994 came around, and NASCAR Racing 1 showed up. And I thought, well, this is pretty sweet. I had already been playing the other simulations from Papyrus. And as time passed, new versions come out, played pretty much everything, and have been pretty much since then. But it wasn't until 2010 that I actually drove a real race car. And I started in the Sportsman division at La Crosse Speedway, which is where I actually ended up meeting Ty, because we both race at the same track. He actually drove for who used to own my race car. He ended up selling the car to me, and then he bought a couple of race cars, and Ty drove one of them. But what I did was I got into iRacing around 2009, knowing that I was going to be driving a real car. So I figured, well, the late model's similar to what I might be driving in the real track, so maybe it'll help me learn what I need to learn. So I used it as kind of a stepping stone to learn how to drive. I didn't really get into the setup building, though, until I started hanging out a little bit with the posse guys, and they taught me how. Shut up, cat. They taught me how to how the setups work as far as the quirks inside of iRacing, because you know you guys know how it is. A lot of things you would think would work on a real car just don't work in iRacing because it isn't real life. But it really did help in the real world. I actually ended up winning my first feature, I think, in my eighth week, which I never thought I'd win a feature ever, honestly, and it was pretty awesome. But I've been racing ever since then, and been racing iRacing a little too much since then.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool, though. I hear a lot about guys that use iRacing as learning tools, and it's cool to hear you say that you actually just got into iRacing to begin with because you wanted to learn, and so it's kind of cool to hear that not just that you're using it to practice a certain track or whatever, but you're actually using it as a learning tool, or you were at that point.
Yeah, anybody listening to this, it really does help quite a bit.
I've heard a lot about that before, so I'm not surprised to hear you say that as well. Another question I have for you is, you said you started off in the old NASCAR days on, you know, racing on computer games and stuff. But for your current setup in iRacing, what kind of wheel and pedals do you have? Do you have a rig, or what's your current setup, I guess?
I have a G25, but I don't use it. I exclusively use my Driving Force GT wheel and pedals. I used the G25 for a little bit, but I didn't really, I don't know, I think I just got too used to the Driving Force GT, so I just stuck with it. I modified the pedals a little bit because anybody who's used them before knows that they're really soft as far as the springs go. So I took the springs out and stretched them so that they would be a little more stiff. But otherwise, it's just your standard Driving Force GT.
And single monitor?
Yeah, I had three monitors. They work fine in XP, but I usually dual boot the computer, but I dropped XP just to have Windows 7. And the computer's just not strong enough for all three screens, so I just dropped it back to one for now.
That just goes to show some of us that race with three monitors and all that stuff that it doesn't make a damn difference. Nope.
No, the wheel doesn't make that. I mean, a lot of people think the wheel makes a difference. Maybe it does in some series, but what we drive, it just, I think once you get used to something, you're good to go.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the pro drivers that use just regular G27s or like you're using DFGTs, and they say the same thing. It's what you're comfortable with. It's more important what you're comfortable with.
Also, another thing that makes a big difference on the wheel, I believe, for a lot of people is just the way they set it up. You know, that program that comes with the Logitech wheels has, what, three or four different settings that can really make a big difference. For example, Majeski doesn't run with his force feedback at all. And as a result, I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you turn the force feedback on, you know, the wheel will jerk around in your hand a little bit, and every little jerk will scrub speed off the car. So if you can manage to deal with not driving with any of your feedback, it's actually sometimes will speed you up a little bit. every time I try to drive without feedback, I go way slower because I'm so, you know, it's the same thing. You get used to something, and that's just the way it is. I'm used to feedback.
Yeah, I've actually tried that at Rockingham, or I feel like there's another rough track we go to every once in a while, but I've tried it at those couple tracks where I turn off the force feedback, and it does help, actually, so that makes sense. So, talking to you a little bit more about the league in itself, I don't even know when you joined. It's been a while now since you joined. I'm trying to look down through here. You actually joined 2014 summer season, so you've been around for a little while. You're up to 179 starts, 37 poles, 35 wins, 111 top fives, and 130 top tens. That's some pretty damn good numbers. And last season you picked up a couple championships, and now you're leading the league in overall championships with 6. So needless to say, your Sarah career has been pretty successful so far. But I'm kind of curious, so where did you find out about the league to begin with, or what got you into the league to start?
I don't freaking remember. I think it might have been one of your posts in one of the forums. I'm almost certain it was from a post in the forum, and it might have been that I had seen some other drivers that I was used to driving with who were at that point faster than I was, or maybe a lot of them might still be in the official series, and I wanted to join a league like this, and it seemed like this was the one to go to find competition like at its highest. And I wanted that because all you can do is improve, like no matter who you are. I mean, even the fastest guy in the league is going to find a way to improve, because at any given time, someone's going to find a better setup and kick their butt.
Yep.
And it does. I mean, maybe it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does happen, it's really, really rewarding. This league clearly has the best of the best driving these particular cars, so why not drive it?
Yeah, we've talked to some other guys before about it, too, about even if you're one of the slow guys, you feel like you're off the pace, you're running 20th in the field, it's not that you're slow, you're just getting beat by 20 guys that are really, really good, so just racing against those kind of guys is going to make anyone better. So it's actually interesting to hear you say that, because obviously your numbers speak, you know, volumes that you run well and you win a lot of races here, but even you are still trying to improve and get better just by racing against these guys. I guess the last question for you here is, you picked up a second place finish last night. You actually picked up a second place finish tonight in the Super Late Models, but so far this season, you haven't had the most luck, I would say. You've kind of had some finishes that have been down the list a little bit just from getting caught up and stuff. But moving forward past those bad finishes, are you planning on running for points for a full season? And I guess, what are your goals for the season as you run throughout?
I try to not have any goals. That way I'm not bummed if I can't meet any of them. I'm not actively trying to win any championships until it looks like I might have a chance to do it. Because I never know if I'm going to have the time to race until I'm racing. So we'll see.
I was actually thinking earlier, from an admin side of things, it always seems like you kind of jump around, run different divisions. You're not really trying to run for points, and next thing you know, we take out the drop leagues, and there you are at the top of the standings. So that always seems like that's when you kind of pick it up towards the end of the season, when you figure out that you're actually in contention.
Yeah, that's almost entirely what I do. Not the first couple of seasons. The first couple, I was actively here for every race, trying to go for it. This last season, though, I was not. It just ended up being that way.
Very cool. Good stuff from Bill Martin, our special guest here. Moving forward to the Pro Late Model race, we had double features at Richmond, and both races were a little bit rough. Each race had 5 cautions, which, you know, it's kind of a product of having a 50-lap race at Richmond, especially in the second one, having an invert, the shorter races, less time to get to where you want to go. There was some good racing in there a little bit, too. A little bit of controversy at the end of the first race. Tim Bills led the first 48 laps of the race, and then up front, he got some pressure from TJ Hayes behind him. They kind of got together and ended up getting spun out and wrecked there at the end of the race. And actually, Mark, you got caught up in that too, and you were having a good run before that, and then you just had nowhere to go.
Yeah, they started spinning down to the bottom of the track, and I didn't realize how far at the end of the straightaway we were. So I was like, well, if they're spinning down, then I'll go to the high side. Everybody else was going low. And I didn't realize, because we were so far at the end of the straight, they spun down and then came back up the track. So when I came out of the smoke, they were right in front of me. It was just a bad lane choice and bad luck. But up until then, had some great racing and had an awesome race with Anthony. I think we were side by side for 5 or 6 laps in that race in a row, just going back and forth. It just seemed like turn 2, the wall exiting turn 2 was sneaking up on a lot of people. They really tried to bang that wall down or move it out a little bit farther, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah, I went back and watched your stream of that race, and it was fun to watch you kind of pick your way up through the field and have some good battles there, just to, unfortunately, to watch it all go away. But for Bill, you kind of got lucked out with that one because it did help you get that second place finish.
Worked fantastic.
And it helped out Ty Spearman because next thing you know, Ty is once again in the lead. He only led 2 laps of the race, but they were the final 2 laps. He went on to pick up the win. So that worked out well for him. So Ty Spearman picked up the win. Bill Martin, you got 2nd. Tommy did get 3rd. And then as of right now, we're still kind of reviewing something on the finishing order. But for right now, as we record this, Anthony is 4th, Anthony Celentano, and then Russell Berry got 5th. So we took the finishing results from race number 1, took all the cars that were on the lead lap, and inverted them for race 2, which was a 17-car invert, which made things a little bit interesting. And for race 2, that might have been part of the reason why we had a few cautions. You know, it's tough when the faster guys are trying to get to the front and the field is sorting itself out. And but TJ Hayes, he did get spun out at the end of that first race, which put him in a position to get inverted to the pole for the 2nd race. And he went on to lead all 50 laps. I don't really think he had any competition up front. Maybe a couple guys got to him on the restarts and put up a little bit of pressure, but he definitely had a rocket ship in both races and ended up picking up his first career win in race number 2. TJ Hayes picked up the win. David Krikorian finished 2nd. Cody Kelly, he actually missed race number 1, but I gave him a spot for race number 2, and he had to start last there. Made it all the way up to finish 3rd. Tom Wetmore finished 4th, and Dale Owen rounded out the top 5. I guess I'll throw this to you, Clay. We talked about it a little bit, but we had 5 cautions in both races, and I think I even mentioned at the beginning of the show that it just seemed like this week, and especially the 2 Richmond races, it kind of seemed like a week 1 race where just everyone was kind of getting together, and the races were a little bit rougher than we've had so far this season.
Sure. I know when you were making the schedule and we talked about doing this double feature thing and making them short races, had potential to be kind of a caution fest because everyone's aggressive since you don't have a whole lot of time, but I thought with Richmond being a larger track, it's pretty wide, that might kind of eliminate some of that, but that didn't end up being the case. I think, too, seemed like some of them were just kind of self-spins as well. I know that happened to me in both races and led to the worst crab walk I've ever seen in my life in the 2nd race. I think my right rear was more left than my left front when I was trying to go back to the pits. But yeah, they were not very clean races, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because again, it seems like a really wide track, but it's very unforgiving if you miss the line, because if you go too low and touch the apron, then that's just going to spin you around. And then, again, a lot of guys were banging down the wall on turn 2 as well, which if you hit the wall, it bounced you into the guy on the inside. And it actually we had so much good racing side by side that there were quite a few accidents where the guy on the outside just drove too hard, hit the wall, and came down onto the guy on the inside.
But moving forward to the super late model portion of the race, me and you were in this one, Bill, the only 2 in there, so I guess I'll talk to you a little bit about what happened up front. But to start the race, there was a 10-car invert. Ty Majeski got the pole and got sent back to 10th, I should say. And on the start of the race, I'm blanking out who the name is that started on the pole. Kenny Smith, I believe, started on the pole.
Yep,
and I started on his outside. And I was able to get the lead from him early, led the first 20 laps, and then I felt like I was trying to be easy, but the car just started going away. So after about 20 laps, I started fading, and then Majeski got by me, and you got by me not too long after. But from that point, I don't really know what happened out front, because I spent a lot of my time trying to make up ground from the back after I got turned. So I guess I'll talk to you about what you saw at the front of the field and how the racing was up there.
The racing up front was pretty good. Spearman and I decided to take it easy. So, you know, we settled in line and waited, and picked off anybody who was falling back. You were one of the last ones that we picked off before the first yellow came out. Majeska, on the other hand, just tore through the field. Nothing new there. With this track and not having any tires for 125 laps, and if I remember it, was it clear? Was the sky clear?
Yes.
Yeah, that is just a recipe for evil as far as the tires go. So I was surprised. It seemed like everybody held their tires together pretty well up front. For example, the last time that we did this race, I lasted for about 40 laps, and by the end of it, if you remember right, there was no yellow flags in that one.
Yeah, that was a 150 lap or two, so tires were toast by the end of that one.
Yeah.
Because no one went down to get tires because it went green the whole way, so...
Yeah, and we were allowed tires for that race, too, and nobody ended up getting any. But I led that race and by about lap 40 because I didn't realize I was torching the tires. It was over. I was two laps down before that race was over.
Yeah.
So I was kind of expecting myself and others to do the same thing, and everybody seemed to actually treat the tires pretty well, so it was...
Yeah, I'm looking at the lap chart at the results, and even the last 50 laps or so, a lot of the guys that ran up front through the middle portion of the race stayed up there, so they didn't really fall off too much. Whereas, like I said, I had to come from the back of the field after I got turned once, and a lot of guys were slipping and sliding back there. A lot of guys were struggling. Even I felt like I was struggling, but I had a good car, so I was able to pick up a few spots late there. But we did have a pair of... Not really a pair. We had a couple sets of cautions, one between like lap 40 and 60, I want to say, and then another set of cautions, two or three cautions right in a row around lap 100, too, which kind of slowed the pace up a little bit. But like you mentioned, Ty kind of set sail out front, and I don't think anyone had a chance to catch him. So Ty Majeski went on to pick up the win in the super late model race. Bill Martin, you had another good run, finished second. David Krikorian finished third. Ty Spearman finished fourth, and Joe Schaefer finished fifth. The points leader coming into the race, Cameron Hamilton, he finished eighth on the night, so another good points race for him. I'm assuming he's going to be pretty close with Krikorian that finished second for the points lead at the top of the standings. Moving out of the super late models pretty quickly here, but I just wanted to mention a few names that did well this week in each division. Some of these guys might be new this season, or they might just be running well, so I just wanted to kind of mention a few of these guys. I'll kind of name through them pretty quickly, and if anyone has any input on that, feel free to jump in, but I'm just going to list these guys off. In the SK Modified race, Chuck Sweeting had a good run. We already mentioned his name, but he finished third. In that race, I don't know where he came from. It just seemed like he was very quietly working his way towards the front and finished third. And then I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Tiago Ezequiel finished ninth. Again, sorry if I butchered your name, but he was able to get through the big wreck early on, snuck through there, and then he ran right around the 10th spot all race long, battling with a few guys, finished ninth. So he had a good run there. Moving into the street stock race, Tommy Burns continued his good season, like we mentioned earlier, finished second. Tyler Howell finished fourth, which is another newer guy this season. And Mike Rhino finished ninth. He actually ran up in the top five for most of the race and actually had a pretty good run, but I felt like he had a run kind of similar to mine where he just picked the wrong lane a couple times and got shuffled back to ninth, but he had a good race there. A couple guys to mention in the pro late model race. Russell Berry finished fifth. Good run for him. Doc Stout. I want to say he's on the Outlaw team, but I'm not positive on that.
Yep.
He is? Okay. So he finished sixth in race number one, and then in race two, a couple guys that did well. Mark, you finished eighth, had a good run there. Yep. Your first race got spoiled a little bit, but you did come back and had a good race number two. And then Mark Royer finished ninth. Mark is a guy that, I don't know if it's by choice or not, but he likes to hang out in the back of the race, just trying to have clean races, and it paid off for him trying to get through some of the wrecks, and he worked his way up to a 10th place finish, so nice job to him. And then for tonight's race in the super late models, James Wenzel is a new name that he may have run once or twice before, but this is the first time I've noticed him running well. He finished sixth. Chuck Sweeting again had a good run, finished seventh, and Cameron Hamilton finished eighth. He's someone that ran well in one of our earlier super late model seasons and has run well since then, but he hasn't really run for points lately. But he's off to a good start this season. So that's a few guys that I wanted to mention there.
Another one that's impressed me so far this season, and I've only done, I think he only runs SKs and street stocks. I haven't seen him in the late models, I don't think, pro lates. But Mike Alexander, he didn't have a great finish in the street stocks, but I know he started towards the back and he passed me like I was standing still in the middle of the session. I don't remember, something happened that he wound up dropped back to the end of the field mid-race, but he definitely had a fast car, and he's had a fast car the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he did well in week number one, and I think he missed week two, but came back and he's shown speed, so he's been one guy to watch as well. Unfortunately, Bill took him out in the SK race.
He had it coming, as you think.
So moving forward, Clay, I'm going to have you go down through the schedule preview, I guess. You don't have to read all my notes if you don't want to there, but if you don't mind giving the schedule preview for next week.
In SK, we've got Lanier for 125 laps. Looks like last season, Dale Owen and Ian Lane split the double features there. I think that was Ian's first win.
Yes, it was.
In street stock, we've got the new track, right? Southern National.
Yep.
Have we ran there yet?
We have not. That'll be our first trip there in any of the divisions, so that should be interesting.
What I thought. And pros, we're going to Oxford for 125 laps. Kevin J. Myers won last season. And in Supers, we're going to Concord, 125. And looks like it's been a year since we last went there.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Every time you add Oxford Plains to the schedule, I die a little inside.
That was my plan.
Yeah, it's kind of like Concord. I don't think I've run Oxford with this series yet because I try to avoid it like the plague.
Concord and Oxford are pretty similar as far as it's a tough track. A lot of guys don't like them, but we actually have some good racing at Oxford a lot of the time, or most of the time. So, and it's my home track. So,
I tell you what, though, last season for the Oxford race, we did it in the SK, and Dale Owen was a monster in that race. He was really, really quick. And as a result, after that race, I started helping him out with sit-ups. I haven't been so far this season, but it's really good to see him continuing to be as good as he is. I think if you put Dale Owen in a good setup, he can win races.
Yeah, we actually talked about him in one of the early podcasts, probably recapping last season, where he finished off the season really, really strong. That's probably as a result of you helping him. And I know last season, a lot of the time before that, he was getting loose halfway through the race. A lot of the time he was falling off, but he picked it up the second half of the season. And I guess I didn't recap the Pro Late Model points, but he's actually leading the points in the Pro Late Models after last night's races. So he has a 7-point lead there. So I guess that goes back into the part about drivers that are doing well this season. He's one of those guys that's really shown speed early on. So I agree with you there. He's been really impressive. And before we wrap up this week's podcast, since we do have Bill on here as a special guest, he wanted to introduce his own little special section. He's a special driver, so we'll let him do it. But I guess, Bill, you wanted to introduce some track tips of the week, I guess you want to call it. Or if you want to call it something else, go for it. But tips of the week from Bill Martin.
This week, we're going to talk about patience and how important it is. So as Matt has described earlier about my stats, I want to explain why it is I have the stats that I do. Part of it is I've driven a long time. I've got really good help in a team, but that's not all of it. Most of it is patience. Patience is the most important thing in any race that you run, no matter how short or how long it is. If you have an eighth place car and there's five laps left in the race, you can try to go for fifth place all you want. But to do it, you're going to have to risk it. And you're probably going to end up in the back of the field crashed with a bunch of other cars. It just isn't worth it. If you have a car to win and you're not in a position to win, don't waste your time because you're not going to win. It just isn't going to happen. So if you want to get good finishes, you want to show people you've got what it takes to win a race, to finish in the top five, just make sure you finish the race. And there's no better tip on the track than that. No matter how good or how bad you are, if you keep the car on the track, you're going to beat somebody. So just keep it on the track. Don't run the hell into the back of somebody else. And keep kicking ass. That's the end of track tips.
Boom. There we go. No, I'll agree with that, though, before we finish that off. One of our teammates, me and Clay's teammates, Mike Belanger, always used to say, when we have races that go bad, he'll just start going on the radio and say, if you're faster than the guy in front of you, you will get by him. Otherwise, just stay in line, because if you're not faster than him, it's not worth risking it to to try to ruin both of your races. So I think all four of us here in the podcast were pretty much the same as far as we are patient drivers. We're not going to try to force the issue too much unless we feel like we can do it without any risk there. But a lot of the times we're fine settling for the finishes that we get. And I agree 100% that I'd rather finish a race where I am than try to ruin someone else's race or whatever to gain a spot. So
I myself, this season so far, am kind of an example of the fact that if you don't follow that rule, you're going to not finish a race. I've had a couple of impatient moments, and I've barely finished any of my races this season so far. So I've earned my crappy finishes as a result.
Are you going to take your own tips?
I'm thinking about it.
All right, well, that'll wrap it up for this week's podcast. We have a couple good races coming up next week. We've had some good racing so far this season. This week got a little bit rough, but hopefully we got that out of the way as we move forward here. One more week of the season left to go until we get to our first official off week, and then we'll move on throughout the rest of the season after that. But once again, this will wrap it up. I want to thank Mark and Clay for being on here, as always, and then thanks once again to Bill Martin for being our special guest, and we'll see you all next week.